gentlemen. Thank you, Rabbi Waxman, for giving me the opportunity to be with you this evening. Halacha is one of my loves in life, and whenever I'm not working or parenting or husbanding or whatever it might be, I try and focus on my halacha studies, writing, and teaching. As Rabbi Waxman mentioned, my latest Sefer just came out last month. Feel free to take a look after the shiur. I sell them for 80 shekels each. They're 90 to 105 in the stores. But by all means, money should not be an issue. If someone doesn't have 80 shekels, would like the book for 60, 70, 50, whatever it might be, don't hesitate. I don't do this, like I said, it's my love, it's my hobby, it's not my parnasa. Rabbi Waxman explained to me that this slot is generally a Hilchos Shabbos slot, and therefore together we decided that perhaps a good idea for this evening would be the issue of brushing teeth on Shabbos. This is actually an area where I'm very interested in as well. There are several chapters on these types of issues in my various books, and that is the issue of istinis. An istinis is someone who's very sensitive about cleanliness, about hygiene. There's many, many halachic issues that reflect the istinis and what his obligation may or may not be. For example, you have the Mishnah Maseches Brachos, where I think it's Rabbi Gamliel took a bath. Instead of sitting Shiva, he took a bath. We know that a person who's in mourning does not take a bath. The debate what the parameters are, but generally mourners do not bathe, at least not as normal. But the Mishnah says over there that he was an istinis. He was a very finicky person, needs to be clean. The poskim say the same thing, very similar thing, that a person's mouth is very particular to him. A person doesn't feel comfortable if their teeth, if their mouth doesn't smell right. That's what it says. Sridayesh says that, and we'll get to it in more detail. Since time is not entirely on our side, I'm going to go through the various points in English in lecture form, but I did prepare only a few sheets of all the original sources I'll be discussing, the Igros Moshe, the Minchas Yitzchak, the Sridayesh, and you want one or two to have afterwards, no problem, and others can photocopy from it, whoever it might be, for those who want to pursue it in the original sources. Feel free to ask questions at any time. You can raise your hand. I don't mind pausing. Brushing teeth on Shabbos is subject to 6 or 7 or 8 possible halachic issues, halachic complications. And I'm going to go through them and see how the posts can deal with them. The first possible issue, we'll start with the toothpaste and how toothpaste has its own halachic problems on Shabbos. One of the 39 malachos is called memachek. And it's told as memareach, translated as smoothing. They would take the hide of the animals and smooth them out. So smoothing is one of the malachos. So Moshe Feinstein has a very stringent take on memareach, on smoothing, and says that when you take toothpaste and thick lath, put it on your brush and swish it around your teeth, it's memareach. You're smoothing what is apparently a solid mass, starts in a somewhat solid mass, and you're mushing it into a liquid or to a foam. That, Rav Moshe says, is memareach, and that is problematic. Rav Avadia Yosef has a different take on the memareach shaila with regards to the toothpaste, and he says, since your intention is not to leave the toothpaste on the teeth, the final product is not a smoothed out toothpaste remaining on your teeth because you want to quickly get rid of that toothpaste. You want the soap, the way soap works, the way toothpaste works, is it attaches itself to unclean particles, but that's how soap works. You put soap on your hands and there's kinds of chemical reaction taking place where the soap is able to remove dirt. Oil, for example, is very difficult to take off from your hands. But using soap, the chemicals in soap, actually lift the oil off your skin. Toothpaste, Rav Avadia says, is very similar. Because toothpaste attaches itself to your teeth, removes the impurities, let's call it, and you want to quickly do away with that toothpaste. Since the desire of the toothpaste has nothing to do with memareach, with the smoothing that you accomplished, Rav Avadia says it's not subject to the prohibition. He says it's not subject to the prohibition of memareach because your final intention is to quickly get rid of the toothpaste. Okay. One of Rav Avadia's proofs to his case is very interesting. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch forbids the use of boris on Shabbos. Boris is translated as soap. And indeed, that is common Ashkenazi practice. Ashkenazim should not use bar soap on Shabbos. Sfarad poskim have generally different views on the issue. But the Ramah says, why is it forbidden to use bar soap on Shabbos? And the Ramah says the reason is nolad. Nolad. You're changing from a bar into a foam. No, that is the creation of a new substance on Shabbos, which is generally forbidden. You would think, however, that the Ramah would say that using soap on Shabbos is forbidden because of Mimareach. And indeed, most of the poskim that forbid bar soap in our day cite the prohibition of Mimareach, not Nolad. So Rav Avadya says, and Mimareach, of course, in bar soap would be taking a block of mass and smoothing it out. Right? Our soap changes sizes every time we take a shower, we wash our hands. The soap changes its shape somewhat. So Rav Avadya says, brings a proof in the Ramah. And since the Ramah doesn't cite Mimareach as a problem with bar soap, but merely Nolad changing with one substance to the other, and we'll get to that in depth in a moment, Rav Avadya says there's clearly not a problem with Mimareach when you intend to dispose or wash off the substance virtually immediately. Okay? Those are the issues of Mimareach and toothpaste. Again, we have, in a brief summary, Rav Moshe Feinstein holds it truly is Mimareach. You're smoothing a blob of toothpaste into something else. And Rav Avadya says, no, it's not Mimareach, because something you dispose of immediately that you intend to get rid of is not subject to the prohibition of Mimareach. The next issue relating to toothbrushing on Shabbos is Molid, which I just mentioned in the case of the Ramah. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, I think it's Kuf Mem Zayin, it says that you're not allowed to change a substance one type to another. The example given is you're not allowed to squeeze or crush ice on Shabbos in order to turn it into water. Okay, that is called a molid. You're not allowed to change a substance. I mean, the famous style, can you make ice cubes on Shabbos? We won't get into that now, but you see it is dealt with in many different situations. The situation we're dealing with is that we're not allowed to change one substance from its state into another state. The question is, when you take toothpaste and you smush it around your teeth, what are you doing? You're turning it into a foam. So hence, it may be a problem of changing substances. It might be a problem of molding. And indeed, again, Rav Moshe Feinstein, for those of you typing, when I was in yeshiva, we didn't have this, but the computer is going, and sure, this is beautiful. But for those typing, making notes, the Igros Moshe I keep quoting is in Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Yud Beis. For those who are interested in the Minchas Yitzchak, which follows the Igros Moshe very closely, is in Chelek Gimel, Simen Nun. Okay? And indeed, Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that toothpaste is forbidden on Shabbos for the prohibition of moly. You're changing it from a thick, pasty substance into a foamy substance. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that's prohibited under molid. But again, Rav Avadya Yosef comes and saves the day for those who are devoted toothpaste people. And Rav Avadya says like this, molid, he says, you're only over molid if the substances change drastically. But he says a semi-solid substance to a semi-liquid substance, meaning toothpaste to the foam, is not drastic enough to be categorized under molid. Okay, to be clear, Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that any change of substance is molid, from the paste to the foam. Rav Avadya says, no, paste is nishtahin, nishtahir, it's not a solid, not a liquid. So to the foam, it's not clear what it is. It's not a liquid, it's in between. That's what he says. That's his approach on the issue. And he says it does not violate any problem of molid. So until here, we've discussed two issues, the Mimareach issue and the molid issue. We could get by those issues, according to all poskim, by using liquid toothpaste. If you use liquid toothpaste, which they have in Israel, in America it's hard to find liquid toothpaste. Here they have in Israel liquid toothpaste called Shabbos toothpaste in some circles. With the liquid toothpaste, there's no Mimareach, because it's already liquid. There's no moly, because it's already liquid. So, those are two halachic issues, and there is a solution to those two halachic issues, would be liquid toothpaste. The next halachic issue the poskim cites for teeth brushing and Shabbos is schita. Schita, squeezing. Okay? Squeezing is mefaret, which is dosh. Dosh is an av malacha. And squeezing on Shabbos is forbidden. We know that. It's interesting, and Derech Agav is related. Squeezing a cloth on Shabbos is forbidden for schita, but according to other authorities, other Rishonim, it's also forbidden because of malabein. When you squeeze a cloth, you're actually cleaning it. Of course, if it's a dirty liquid, you wouldn't wouldn't be over malavin for sure, because you're dirtying the cloth in the process. But if you take water in a cloth, in a regular towel, you squeeze out water, so some posts can say you're over svita, some say you're over malavin, some say both. It's very interesting that there is even a shita that's not even svita. It's malavin, you're laundering the garment. The Gemara gives a classic example of svita on Shabbos, which applies to us in different areas as well, is that of hair. Is it permissible to squeeze hair on Shabbos, right? You jump in the mikvah, what do you do with your hair? You have a beard. Jump in the mikvah, you use your beard, etc., etc. So the Gemara says that hair is not truly an absorbing material. Rather, hair traps water. It doesn't absorb water. And therefore the Gemara says squeezing hair on Shabbos is not an issur d'oraisa. It's not true schita. It's asa midrabanan because it looks like schita. It looks like hair is absorbed with water. When you squeeze hair, it looks like you're squeezing water out of hair. But essentially, you're not squeezing water out of hair, because water doesn't go into hair. Because like hair is such a fine item, a soft and fine item, that water gets trapped in between the hairs. Right? If you take, you know, the dish soap that our moms wash the dishes with, maybe your dads wash the dishes with, when you squeeze those soap dispensers, you're not over schita. Because even though you're squeezing the bottle, the soap is not absorbed in the walls of the bottle. You're just squeezing for the purpose of assisting with air pressure to get the soap out. Okay, so in many areas of schita, people don't realize it's actually not a problem with schita. Schita is only squeezing one substance out of another. But when schita does not involve squeezing one substance out of another, it's generally not forbidden. Back to the hair. Certainly not issur d'oraisa, but they say they're abundant, you don't do it because it looks like schita. So how does, yeah? I remember, he's asking about your lettuce, lady who just gave birth. You're saying that it is permissible to squeeze out her hair? I don't remember, I'm not familiar. Don't remember. But he's saying he wants to bring a riot to strengthen my case. There's a Gemara that says that the Yoledes, what did you say, has to bring oil?
Yeah, so
she can bring the oil through her hair and squeeze out the oil. Okay, thank you very much. Not familiar with that Gemara, but I haven't seen the Sefer Shabbos in several years, but don't tell anybody. But I know these sources with the squeezing of the hair and the toothbrush. Okay, so Rav Moshe Feinstein says like this. The bristles of a toothbrush are made from a non-absorbent material. So therefore, since they're non-absorbent, the bristles on the toothbrush are essentially non-absorbing. They too are like hair and merely trap water between the bristles. But Moshe says that it's not nidaraisa, but still is a problem with nidarabanan because it looks like squeezing. And therefore, Moshe's famous position on toothbrushes is that you have to use a dry toothbrush when you're allowed to brush your teeth. Okay, because when you use a wet toothbrush, you're forcing the water out with every move. Okay? Now, this is a fascinating take, a different approach on the issue of schita. Rav Moshe is very machmer that schita is a serious issue, and indeed, he only allows a dry toothbrush. But the Sri Ne'esh of a Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg has a very fascinating tshuva where he's mechadesh many different concepts, at least uses them for the first time that I know of, with regards to brushing teeth. And he holds that schita is not a problem with the toothbrush for a number of reasons. And this Sri De'esh is an Or HaChaim, and it's Tshuva Lamed, Simen Lamed. And he says that since you have no intention to squeeze the water, it's not prohibited, which is a very big chiddush. Because that's called Psik Reisha. And the general rule of Psik Reisha, something that's inevitable, is forbidden to do on Shabbos. Okay? If you're going to do something which will inevitably lead to a Shabbos transgression, it's forbidden to do. But he says that Psik Reisha for an Isser Drabanon, it could be Mako. It's a big chiddush. There's very few poskim, especially for Rishonim and Achronim, who permit a Psik Reisha in an Isser Drabanon. Very few. So he brings that. That's the Sri De'esh, an Or HaChaim Simen Lamed. So he holds Psik Reisha and Isser Drabanon is permissible. Related to the Shaila is the use of the hot water dude on Shabbos. It's very interesting. You don't have this in America. Any Canadians here, by the way? Any Canadians? Oh, now I feel better. Okay. Toronto, Montreal? Nery Sol, past 94. So in Israel, you have the dude Shemesh. Okay? Now in Israel, you have the dude Shemesh. It works two ways. One, you can press a button, electricity comes in and heats up the water like any electric heater. But you also have the use of the sun. Question is, can you use the hot water heaters on Shabbos? Are you allowed to benefit from the heating of the sun? Okay. So many poskim, it's a very big machlokas, you have to ask your rabbis what you should do with hot water on Shabbos. But Rosh Hashanah is one of the big mekilim. And he says that it's permissible to use that water. Why? Because you seek resha, bedavar, she'en miskaven, b'yisud rabbanon, anything rama is permissible. What is that? It's the rabbanon. Really, mean d'oraisa, you can cook with the sun. Okay? So it's the rabbanon. It's aligrama, but you're not really heating the water. You're bringing out water by opening the faucet very far away, and it goes on and on. What do I bring this up for? It's a very interesting, I'm very fascinated by the issues of where Psik Resha and the grama and Davar Shemiskaven combine or not in order to permit something on Shabbos. So this Chiddush of Svidi Eish, the Psik Resha, just the Psik Resha, without grama, without Davar Shemiskaven, if Motul Chatchila, is a very big Chiddush. Yeah.
Is it
Dud Shemesh Chama or Tolos Chama? It's a very big machlekes. Exactly. Right. So some say the Dud Shemesh is Mamish Bishul Chama, and some say no Tolos Chama because it's heated up by these bars. You know, this receiver. I think it's called Koltim in Hebrew. It's not direct, right? The water in the tank is not directly heated by the sun. It's heated by a series of wires and metal plates. So some say the entire process is called Bishul Chama, like you said, it's completely permissible. And so they know it's told that it's not direct, it's through the wires, it's through the metal plates, and then the water gets heated. It's an interesting subject on its own. The first edition of Shmir Shabbos Kilchaso permits the use of the Dud Shemesh on Shabbos, and the second edition of Shmir Shabbos Kilchaso forbids the use of the Dud Shemesh on Shabbos. So you can check the footnotes in both places and... Yeah, the third one just came out. I don't know what he said. I didn't see it yet. Another reason why schita is not prohibited with a toothbrush, which is a common, you find this very often, it's not a big chiddush, but surprisingly the other poskim don't say it, that generally schita is not a problem when the schita, when the squeezed out substance immediately goes to waste. You don't have any benefit from the substance you're squeezing, it goes to waste. There's no iser, definitely not the raisa of schita. How do we milk cows on Shabbos, right? How do you milk cows? So there's several ways of milking cows on Shabbos that we use in Israel. And one of the ways is to let the milk go to waste. So even a Jew, I know you have to ask a farmer who knows halacha what the exact halachas are. I mean, I only know the concepts, but not the practical applications in the field. But one of the ways is squeezing out the milk and letting it go to waste. And why is that permissible? Because it goes to waste. It's not a problem of schita. The only problem of schita is you're drinking and making use of what you were squeezing out on Shabbos.
Yes, I know
that
there also is
tzar for the animal. Yeah, right. That's tzar b'alei chaim. If an animal's not milked on Shabbos, he's in a lot of pain. So the entire approach of the poskim with the various solutions to milking on Shabbos is based on the premise we have to do something. There's tzar b'alei chaim here. And tzar b'alei chaim, by the way, I subscribe to you. It's mamash le'raisa. It's a big machlokes whether it's the Rabban or the Raisa, but there's many Rishonim that hold it's an Isser the Raisa. And there's other methods of milking on Shabbos through a goy, an Arab, and the other way is they have some kind of system where you plug in the milkers into the udders and a time clock turns on the milkers and it goes on automatically like an air conditioner. I don't know. Okay? Fine. Another reason why Srita is not a problem with the toothbrush according to Srita Eish is because the Shulchan Aruch, the Pharisee says, you're allowed to use a sponge on Shabbos that's on a handle. So he says, what's the difference? That toothbrush is like a sponge on a handle. Okay, so machlokes is why it's indeed permissible to use a sponge on a handle. And I think the Rambam holds is because it's not inevitable. It's not inevitable that you're going to squeeze with every swipe. Okay, but in any event, the Shulchan Aruch clearly permits a sponge on a handle on Shabbos. If you have to clean cups, you've got to get into a cup to clean it from your meal. You're allowed to use these type of... spongy glass cleaners on Shabbos, long as it has a handle. Okay? He has other proofs. As this time is running short, we'll stop here with the Sri Deish, but it's a very fascinating Shuvah. And he has, if you look it up in the Sri Deish in the original, he has a go back and forth with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It's one of the very rare times you'll see in any Sefer two big poskim going at it together. So this brushing teeth on Shabbos is one of them. In the Sri Deish, you'll see Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's comments on the Sri Deish's Chidushim. Okay, moving right along to the next halachic issue. And I gave both sides of Sita. Okay, that's what I want to do, is share with you both opinions. The other issue is a halakha concept called Uvdin Dechol. Uvdin Dechol. It's a very unique concept which doesn't have a very clear definition whatsoever. What is Uvdin Dechol? Weekday activity. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach holds that Uvdin Dechol is anything, even though it can be done in a permissible manner, anything that even though it can be done in a permissible manner, generally involves Chilul Shabbos. Therefore, even if you can do it in a permissible manner, it's forbidden under the clause of Uvdin Dechol. Okay? Even though you can do it in a permissible manner, but it's generally done in a way that causes Chilul Shabbos, you can't do it. It's called Uvdin Dechol. The Mishnah Berurah has a very famous example. The Mishnah Berurah's example is brushing your hair on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says that brushing your hair, Shulchan Aruch says, Magen Avraham, that brushing your hair on Shabbos is a problem, because he might take out some of the hair in the process. So Mishnah Berurah says, or take any hair is a usur. So how can you brush your hair on Shabbos? It's generally something that is done in a forbidden manner, meaning it'll lead to a chilul Shabbos. So he says, if you have a brush designated for Shabbos use, and you're likely not to pull out hair, that's boys, right? We all have short hair, there's nothing going to come out with a quick brush. If you have a soft brush designated for Shabbos, there's no problem with the hole. You bypass it, because hair is likely not to come out. And since you're using a distinct item, and not your weekday item, you have a distinct Shabbos, again, that takes away within the hole. Now, this applies to the toothbrush as well. Rav Avadia Yosef holds that you have a problem with Uvdin Dechol unless you have a Shabbos toothbrush. Okay, because again, brushing teeth, as we were discussing, can be subject to some Shabbos prohibitions. But again, it can also be avoided. So since it is possible to do it in a permissible manner, but there's a chashash within the Dechol, the way to get out of the problem with Uvdin Dechol is to have a designated brush or toothbrush, whatever the case might be in your Shabbos routine, you have a separate item. Okay? The next issue that the poskim cited, Hachana. Where does Hachana come up? Hachana is preparing on Shabbos for a weekday. That's forbidden. You're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for a weekday, and in most cases, you can't prepare on Shabbos for another Shabbos. Right? If you have something you only do on Shabbos, you can't do it for the next Shabbos. So where does Hachana come into play? So the poskim say, Rav Avadia Yosef, he's not a makel over here, he's generally a makel in this issue, but over here he's not a makel. And he says that when you wash your toothbrush off, you're preparing it for its next use, likely to be after Shabbos. So the problem of Hachana. Okay. The flip side to that, you know, similar, we have this in other areas of Halacha. Are you allowed to make your bed on Shabbos? Because you're really making your bed for the next use, which is after Shabbos. Are you allowed to, after Shalosh Shuris, right? After Shalosh Shuris, Shabbos is nearing its end. Are you allowed to put food back in the refrigerator? Right? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Getting asked a good example. What about taking a nap on Shabbos? You want to have strength for the night. Right? You have a good Motzei Shabbos date, right? You want to be up and awake for your bowling or your date, whatever it might be. So you go to sleep, you take a nap on Shabbos. Okay? So the poskim all say that you're not allowed to say, I'm sleeping in order to have strength for after Shabbos. But you are allowed to do anything on Shabbos that is routine and not discernible that you're doing for after Shabbos. Right? You can take a walk on the street, and as you're walking, you see a store, you're interested in the price for that radio you want, whatever it might be. You can take a look at the price and have in mind, you know what, after Shabbos, I'll go check it out. You didn't articulate that you're preparing for after Shabbos, you didn't articulate your needs. Similar with the nap, okay? That's why there's no problem with Hachana, as long as you don't say that you're doing it for after Shabbos. But the flip side of the Hachana is this from Rav Herschel Schachter, YU. He says like this, that when you wash a toothbrush off after its use, you're not preparing it for its next use. You're washing it up because you want it now. Now you want a clean toothbrush. Imagine everyone in the family that they're doing toothbrush in the holder, in the toothbrush. You'd be nauseated, right? It's disgusting. You know, you have a family of 4, 5, 6 people, and everyone on the child's morning is going to take a toothbrush and leave a dirty toothbrush in the cup holder. Unattractive, to say the least. Therefore, your cleaning is for now. Right? That's why the permissibility to make a bed on Shabbos is because you want your house to look good now. You're not making your bed to be ready for your next use after Shabbos. You're making your bed because you want the house to look good now. Washing dishes is somewhat controversial on Shabbos. Are you allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos? Yes or no? So if you're preparing your dishes for a meal that's not needed on Shabbos, it's for the next meal which is likely to take place after Shabbos, it's a problem. But if, you know, someone walks into your house and they see dirty dishes piled up in the sink, that's very unattractive. Cleaning the dishes has a Shabbos use. So the Rebbe Moshe Freim says this. He says, cleaning dishes on Shabbos has a Shabbos use. You want your house to look nice. care that they're ready for the next use, for the next meal, which will take place after Shabbos. Right now, you want a nice-looking house, you want clean dishes, you want the house to look in order. Hachana. Fine. We'll stop here because I don't want to, you know, intrude on, you know, you have dinner coming. I don't want to ruin dinner at all. I don't want Bill to talk about my book for those who want to stay behind and then talk about the book. I'll just, in conclusion, there are more halachic issues. It's even deeper than what I shared with you so far. But in a brief summary of four major camps, we have Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Herschel Schachter that completely permit toothbrushing on Shabbos with regular toothpaste. B, you have Rav Avadia Yosef that lets you use a wet toothbrush with toothpaste, but you should have a toothbrush designated for Shabbos and you should not wash it off after your use. 3, is the view of Rabbi Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg, which Rav Auerbach basically agrees with, that everything is permissible as long as you use liquid toothpaste. And 5, you have Rav Moshe Feinstein that holds you're only allowed to use a dry brush, and he too holds it should not be washed off after use. Anyone here from Chicago? Yeah, you guys. Oh yeah. Have you guys ever heard of a Rabbi Regensburg? Rabbi Chaim Regensburg. He died before you were all born, but he's a very prominent rabbi. Yeah, Rabbi. No, anyone heard of him? Rabbi Regensburg, really? Rabbi Gedalia Dov Schwartz, you heard of? Okay, Rabbi Gedalia Dov Schwartz gave me a scum to my sefer that I have here. But before Rabbi Gedalia Dov Schwartz, or maybe two before, was Rabbi Chaim Regensburg. He wrote a sefer, Mishmeres Chaim. Listen to this. If you're from Chicago, I'm going to tell you something now you remember the rest of your life. Okay? Rabbi Regensburg was a posek before Rabbi Gedalia Dov Schwartz. He wrote a sefer, Mishmeres Chaim. And in that sefer, Mishmeres Chaim, I think it's Tshuva 9, he permits brushing teeth on Shabbos kedarko, regular. I heard from reliable sources that somebody brought the tshuva to Rav Herschel Schachter. Herschel Schachter said not only did he agree with it, but the sefer was only that tshuva, the whole sefer would have been worth it. Unbelievable, huh? Okay, Rav Yitzhak, I wish you a ksiva, a ksiva toiva.